Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio. We're broadcasting today from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. Today's show will feature QAnon and a live interview during the first hour from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Seattle time. And to my knowledge, this is the first time Q has given a live interview, so I hope you can listen to this incredible interview. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area. And we now have over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries. And I just want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful support. After my interview today with QAnon from 2 to 3, I'll be talking about my efforts to get books, computers, and funding for a new library for the beautiful Hopi Indians in Arizona from 3 to 3:30 p.m. When I visited the Hopi last week, I realized that they do not have any kind of basic library, so I decided to help them put together a library where they can preserve and perpetuate their beautiful cultural traditions and wisdom. They are beautiful people, and they need our help. Then from 3:30 to 4 p.m., I'll be interviewing my good friend Jason Armstrong from beautiful Vancouver, Canada, who will be channeling Adama, the high priest of Telos, underneath Mount Shasta in Northern California. I'll be asking him for messages for humanity, and it should be an incredible show. This year, I'll be taking a group of people to Mount Shasta twice. First time from July 2nd to July 8th, 2019, and then again from September 5th to September 11th, 2019. The cost is only $200, and I hope you can come. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone so much for this radio program, for their support for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate your beautiful help and support because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. And with that, I'd really like to thank my good friends Corey and Solon Kirkland, Washington, for their wonderful support, as well as my friends Mary and Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, Jan Erik and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world who've helped me raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers. Any advertising on the show will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 90 countries with over a quarter of a million listeners. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website, providing wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance, who've been supporting my show and I know are listening today, my angelic and earthly family, and KKNW, and Eric, of course, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. You can also call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793 or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. I wanted to tell you briefly that I'll be returning to Mount Shasta from July 2nd to July 8th, 2019, and again from September 5th to the 11th, 2019. Mount Shasta is one of the world's most special spiritual places where miracle healings do occur from the Solosians and the beautiful people of Telos and the Hollow Earth. I experienced this firsthand last September when Adama, the high priest of Telos, came in and he asked me if I wanted healing for my right eye. For the last 40 or 50 years, I've had blurry, farsighted vision in my right eye, and he restored the vision in both of my eyes to 20/10 crystal clear eyesight. We were also able to telepathically contact a Pleiadian UFO during the last trip, and we also saw lots of Sasquatches and lots of UFOs flying in and out of Mount Shasta. If you'd like to go, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. And with that, I'd like to bring on Q or QAnon. I'm so honored and pleased that he can come on today. To my knowledge, this is the first live interview he's ever given on a radio or television program. Q, how are you today?
Ted, good day. Unconditional love to you, and thank you so much for your services. And hear your never-ending support for making this world a better place. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
My the pleasure's all mine, Q. I know you work hard, too, at making this world a better place, so we share a common interest. And I'm already getting a lot of questions in internationally and here in the United States and elsewhere in Canada. If we can, a lot of people ask, what is Q? Could you explain that, perhaps? People could understand that a little bit.
Yeah, well, we might be here a while if we really
okay.
want to drill into that. But why don't we do a, I'll do a quick summary in that.
Okay.
I think, you know, as I understand the listening base that you have, I think it's consistent that we have a belief that the majority of the information systems in North America and around the world are heavily controlled by an isolated group of people. And so the posts of Q are one avenue to get some independent beliefs out for us all to discern, we'll say, the logic about the other avenues of information that we would say would be possibly more independent to a different set of beliefs. That would be a summary for me.
Okay. Would you say that Q is perhaps in contact with some benevolent life beyond this planet who wants to help us?
Yeah, so I probably won't drill into a lot of the tax there, the tax for QAnon, but it you can assume that my name is QAnon. You can assume that I have a role as QAnon, but you can also so assume that I'm on a very, very organized, very well thought out, very holistic team that is capable of extrapolating a tremendous amount of information in unbelievable, comprehensive, organized and or deliveries that have probably not been seen on the planet until now.
I see. So you come from it goes without saying, Q, that you come from a benevolent perspective.
That's a fair assumption, but I don't think we're prepared to talk about the avenues yet.
Okay, that's fine.
That would be my opinion today.
Okay, that's fine. Help steer me into questions, because I want to make sure I get the information out.
Yeah, that's okay. If you want to call me the leader, you could, but there's no way, shape, or form anybody thinks either one of us is a leader. And,
okay.
Or everyone just has a different role.
Okay.
A different task for the same purpose.
Okay. So your goal is to make this world a better place. Is that correct?
Yes. Expanding on that, it would appear that we might prefer some different choices that maybe we've either inherited or we keep reusing some legacy beliefs from the prior generation.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's a lot of us here now, well, we assume, and we need help. And so today is a great example of being brave and getting boots on the ground. And that's what I've been driven to do today and working with you. And I can't thank you enough for your bravery, because not everybody wants to do this for obvious reasons.
Well, I came close to death about 40 years ago or so in a car accident in which I was hit head-on by a drunk driver, and I had an epiphany after that and realized my sole purpose. So I'm not afraid of really anything anymore, because I've been to the other side, and I know what it's like. So I'm not afraid of death, and I know what my sole purpose is, which is making this world a better place. So we share a common interest. One thing I'd like to ask you about is the effect of technology on people, on humanity, on computer screens, 5G, cell phones. What effect does that have on people's thinking processes, and are they controlled through that process?
Right. So I think if we stand back and we look at the evolution of the data center as a whole, and you look at how big the data centers are getting, mm-hmm. we might ask why we need such large data centers.
Sure. Pick
the largest manufacturer of software. We might look at them. We might look at our governance. Look at the scale of these data centers and realize that there's only one pipe going into them, regardless of the manufacturer you may work with regarding data. Mm-hmm. It's only really one network. And at the end of the day, it looks like we keep preferring to give these data centers a recording of every minute of everyone's life. And by the way, more and more and faster and faster. Mm-hmm. So what are we doing with all this data? Well, it would appear that we have an opportunity to do something about this, another reason for the post, and organizing our beliefs for a different belief. And I want to be careful of my independent opinions, because we're all preferring to record our lives in data centers because we keep holding these screens.
Sure.
We keep working on screens. We keep communicating on screens. And it would be my opinion that we believe that we would like to react to the past after a transmission. So if I send sure. you a message, I now react to your message. Mm-hmm. But I also record it, too, simultaneously. So
sure.
I feel like the days where we had a switchboard operator has not changed. It's just now automated. So does that help a little bit?
Yeah, that does help a little bit. Of course, I'm in contact with the Galactic Alliance and also the Pleiadians as well. There's now over 2 million Pleiadian ships around the planet helping us in our evolution and our ascension into the fifth dimension. And the Pleiadians tell me, of course, this is a planet of free will. But how can we have free will, Q, if we're affected by these other technology like 5G and high energy electromagnetic devices?
So, outstanding question. One of the reasons I'm on the phone call right now.
Okay.
I believe you're correct about free will mm-hmm. for all of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked the question back, just like in the post, why do we keep choosing to communicate on these screens? Mm-hmm. Why do we keep choosing to go to work, to work in the data center? Why do we keep choosing to self-imprisoning ourselves to these technologies? We're the ones doing it. And the way that it's been aligned and organized into our society mm-hmm. is so well done and so well thought out. We have a hard time as a collective recognizing it as we re-inherit the model. So to answer your question, we can choose to stop right now. We can choose a whole nother preferred method, but we don't, because we like this stuff. It would appear we're masters at self-imprisoning ourselves. We love these Federal Reserve notes. We love these banks. We love whistleblowing, all as fun as it is. But we could just do something different instead of blow the whistle on folks too.
Well,
now in the same context, mm-hmm. No one gets a cue post unless there is a screen now, is there?
No, that's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me.
So there's another opportunity here for us, and we may want to do this collectively instead of being told to do it. So I personally am tired of being told what I'm going to do instead of being asked.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should all use those words as an opportunity to choose another opportunity.
In my conversations with President Kennedy, he said that the planet itself is shifting into the higher dimensions. The other spirits tell me this too. Nostradamus, of course, Albert Einstein, my good friend Albert Einstein, tells me the same thing. So, but the what I hear is that it's still going to be several years before we actually shift into the fifth dimension. But do you think we could do that now with the power of our mind, if we chose to shift into the higher dimensions right now? Could we create a paradise on Earth right now rather than waiting a couple of years?
Yes. So it's quite obvious that every second of every day we make another choice, every mm-hmm. millisecond we're making another choice.
Mm-hmm.
So if we choose choose a different outcome, of course we could have a much higher vibrational experience. You know, you look at some of these great writers, I think they've got it right, like an Eckhart Tolle or, you know, so many of them. There's so many people we could reference that everybody's catching up real quick, in my opinion. And you don't like your paradigm, you make a different choice. And I think it's that simple. And I think if we start living with choices we prefer more often and synchronistically as a culture, that is what's going to raise the quality of life for humanity, is the synchronization of believing that you can make a choice that isn't about self-enslavement.
Well, I guess this leads to my next question, Q. If we prefer to make the planet a better place, why don't we?
Okay, so a great question. We have, I believe, one of the great tools to keep us from doing that is called the TV, in which I call the "Tell You What to Vision" box, "Tell You What to Believe" box.
Which, pardon me for interrupting, Q, but that was invented or first brought to the world's attention in 1936 by Adolf Hitler.
Right. So, if we keep perpetuating the past belief systems, which would be, I just watched it on TV, it must be true, I believe we have inherited some of those habits and tools from the generation before us. Mm-hmm. So the lack of organizational alignment, I will speak for North America, the lack of organizational alignment for organizing our beliefs that we might prefer is very well segregated in states, subsets of counties. It's very difficult to get aligned with a very large group of people without being disrupted somehow. Mm-hmm. As an example, can you rent out a stadium and have 50,000 people talk about consciousness? Mm. Well, maybe, but...
Maybe, yeah.
Do we have $1 million to do that? Well, I guess we could if we all got organized and said, let's go rent out a stadium and get this organized. Or do we believe that's possible? I think it's about getting us aligned and organized, and that's one of the reasons we're on the phone right now.
Right, right. Can you see into the future? Can you see what's going to happen under current timelines?
So I'll touch on that a little bit.
I mean, I guess that leads me to the next question, too, is do you time travel, or can you?
So let's assume the tools used, that is a true statement. That's correct.
Okay.
But the time can constantly be changed, as I believe you're aware, because we all have the ability in a free will environment to make our own choices. Mm-hmm. So to say that we all know what's going to happen in our group, not a fair statement, because we can all collectively change it. Mm-hmm. That makes sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Sure, that makes sense. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Have negative entities tried to control you, and what's happened with that?
So, you know, one of the reason that I'm on this phone call now, and I'm becoming more active, we will say, is, you know, I need to be brave for these next steps, because we need more organizational alignment, we'll say. Mm-hmm. And I am a survivor of unspeakable torture from multiple organizations in America.
Okay.
And when I say unspeakable, I do mean that. And I know there are many, many others out there. And so one opportunity for me to be on this radio is get some of those people to come forward. So I think you see some of the avenues through, maybe we say, disclosure, some of the avenues through consciousness. You can witness some of these unspeakable tortures. Mm-hmm. And that was due primarily to the genetics of my family and myself and the type of family I grew up in and the geography I grew up in. So, does that help you?
Yeah, that does. That does help. Let's. One of the messages I get all the time from the people of Telos, and I'll be bringing in my good friend Jason from beautiful Vancouver, Canada, here about 3:30 p.m., where he channels Adama. And one of the messages that I always get from the hollow earth and the inner earth is that we are all very powerful spiritual beings on this planet, surface of this planet, and we are waking up during this time. This is a time for truth, that things that are true are becoming even more true, and those that are false are becoming evident as false and falling by the wayside. And I wanted to read you a statement. If everyone chose what they preferred without fear, guilt, or ego, their wildest, fantastic desires on making this planet a better place on heaven on earth would be born from the synchronicity of doing that. But we don't choose that because of the survivor monetary system. Well, I'd love your comment on that.
Well, I couldn't have said it any better. That is my exact opinion. One of the ways you can compartmentalize our culture, I believe, so that we don't choose what we prefer, is the belief in the monetary system. Again, I'm speaking from the North American perspective. I do agree that when we do something for another person, we would like to receive something in return. I understand that, and I understand how our society has been built. And know that you're talking to someone that has been in many, many of the largest corporations in the world at the highest level and at the lowest level. Mm-hmm. And so one of the reasons the Q Posts are so successful is because I personally have a great visibility to the formal decision-making process and the informal decision-making process for much of many of the monetary goods we see on the planet and technology.
Okay.
And when I look in within these corporations, I see outstanding people, just great people, and the only reason they're there is so that they can go buy bread. Mm-hmm. And so, in my opinion, if we don't have time to sit back and listen to the Ted Marsh show or whatever avenue they believe helps generate more conscious information, you just keep grinding away, and that's been our MO in the industrial revolution. And I believe the industrial revolution was created for a very, very specific agenda,
which was to exploit the resources of the planet and to enslave humanity. Or what do you think?
Yep. Here we are with screens, and here we are with we have hidden technology within these corporations. We have an industrial military complex that apparently takes all our revenue that we produce week in and week out, and we have no idea where it goes. We have people who find trillions and trillions of dollars missing from the Federal Reserve, the IRS. No one has an answer. Let's see. We have distractions like blowing up buildings in New York, blowing up IRS buildings, and I guess we're just going to keep doing this until we prefer something else.
Well, President Eisenhower warned about the dangers of the military-industrial complex in his famous Secret Society speech in 1959, and both President Eisenhower and President Kennedy knew about the dangers of what you're talking about. And I guess this leads me to a lot of other questions. Is President Trump getting help from you? And what about other leaders, including the new emperor of Japan?
Okay, so I'll go on record again and say that there is a vast network associated with it.
Okay.
And it's very well thought out and comprehensive. And these are outstanding people, loving people who want the best.
Mm-hmm.
But know that this information is very, very well organized, and there's a lot of folks participating in this. And so, as you can imagine, there has to be. I would prefer in this show that because you have such a good purpose, that we focus on, especially if you have questions coming in, what are ways to make this world a better place?
Thank you for asking. Yes.
See, the last thing I want to do is perpetuate what we already know is going on.
Sure, right.
And I also understand maybe you have an agenda around that. And so I'm taking for granted that a lot of the dialogue that we have observed over the course of several years is common knowledge. And we don't have to go backwards, if you will. But I am very excited to work with you on what are actions that we can actually make in real time. Mm-hmm. Everyone's life right now to make this world a better place.
Okay. Okay, let me ask you then a pointed question. Say someone's listening here in Seattle today's show, and let's say one just came in from Steve here in Seattle. How can I make this world a better place in my day-to-day life? Fairly basic question.
Thought you'd never ask. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so here is one tool I have observed in humanity in North America that you can use Donald Trump as an example if you want. People in business like to tell people what to do. It would be an assumption that most people see every day. Mm-hmm. We watch controversy in our personal lives. We watch people use their screen to communicate with each other. Maybe they judge them. Maybe they call them names. Mm-hmm. If we could all start by asking people what you want to tell them instead of telling them what you feel your ego should be distributing, I would encourage people to notice what will happen. And that is, if you ask a question, mm-hmm. you actually care about the answer. So if every day you got in a controversy and you want to tell that person to go pound sand, why don't you ask that person, what do you mean by that? Mm-hmm. Why are you angry? How can I help you? Okay, so if I did it this way next time, would that be better? Yeah. And notice, and that might not be a very thorough example, but if we could start asking people, truly caring, that would be what I consider unconditional love, instead of telling people. So we'll use Donald Trump as an example. You're fired, as an example. Or there's a lot of statements made, not a lot of questions.
Sure.
So forgive me if that's not a very thorough response.
No. Well, you know, this brings me back to Dr. Masaru Emoto, where he found that if you photographed water crystals from the statement, do it, versus could you please do this, or let's work together, the command do it is a negative command, and you can see that in the crystals because they all break apart and they look negative. But if you ask people in a nice way, or how are you today, rather asking them and then listening to their answer rather than telling them in a statement from your own ego, it there's a marked difference between the two vibrations, and you can see that in the crystals.
Absolutely. And so imagine if you have a whole culture asking instead of telling. And it doesn't seem like a big impact, but try it for a day. When people ask you to go get something, or they ask you to do something at work, and say, "Okay, how can I help you?" Or it seems simple, but you'll be surprised how your life will change.
Sure, absolutely. Well, that's a very good point. Thank you, Q, for mentioning that. I've had a couple questions come in, and I want to run them by you if it's all right.
Please go ahead.
This is Ann in Yelm, Washington. Is JFK Jr. still alive? A couple of follow-ups. Did he fake his death in the plane crash with the help of the military? Does he want to run in the next presidential election with Trump? Is he part of the Q team? That's from Ann in Yelm, Washington.
No, he's not part of the Q team. I can't answer the first question.
Okay. All right. Okay, thanks. Let me ask you this. What's the real purpose behind the new push for the new 5G cell towers? I mean, why now and why the push?
Okay, so 5G is 5G is somewhat of an illusion, yet, as you can imagine, it has a lot of the intentions that we assume are negative. But the reason I say somewhat an illusion, because you have a lot of self-organizing mesh networks already installed around the planet, whether it be satellite or your smart meter.
Right.
So wherever there is a transmitter, you can make a network. So 5G is a little bit of a distraction, although the end result is the same, just a little more granular. And one of the purposes for 5G and or these networks, these mesh networks,
mm-hmm.
is that your body is predominantly water,
right.
and minerals. And so as a receiver, a biological receiver, I'm sure many people know, you can subliminally input thoughts into people, and they are so subtle as the generations get older. So in my generation, I grew up with a telephone where you could finger dial, right?
Right.
And then we slowly graduated to digital, et cetera, et cetera. And so those frequencies and harmonics are so subtly growing, we don't recognize them. Incrementally, so now we're I think a gentleman named David Icke says it best, that the totalitarian two-step is what's occurring here. Pretty soon we're going to have a mesh network where you can implement more and more information, because humanity has gotten more and more used to receiving the information. Does that help?
Yeah, that does help. That does help. So,
maybe in a few years we can have people with chips in their heads, and we can just motor them around wherever we want.
Well, I guess this goes back to free will. How can we have free will if people are being heavily influenced by technology as well as any chips? I'd love your opinion on the chips, on the people getting implanted with chips.
So it's very well thought out, and it all has to do with the monetary system. So Six-Pack Joe has to go to the chip plant because he has to survive. And boy, the chip plant, it makes a lot of Federal Reserve notes. And Six-Pack Joe, forgive the analogy, but he wants a new truck. He wants a brand new truck, and the chip plant pays a lot of money. This is a self-imprisonment monetary system because we believe in it.
Mm.
We believe we need this currency. We actually believe we own something.
Yeah.
At least the people I interact with, they actually believe they can own something, even though we're only here for a few minutes compared to the age of our planet.
Interesting. You know, the funny thing is about the so-called Federal Reserve System, and I'll have a show on it in the future. It's not federal because it's 13 private banks. It's not a reserve system because they don't keep any reserves. Since it was created in 1913, they've devalued the value of the dollar by 97%, 97%. And there's nothing backing it. So it's an illusion. The whole dollar, which used to be a stable currency, is now just an illusion because we believe in it because of our belief systems. But it doesn't. There's nothing there.
Right. So I hope I was clear on that. We are choosing free will each and every day.
Uh-huh.
And we've chosen to self-imprison us with 5G. That would be a belief I think we keep believing in.
But if I know there's a lot of protest against the new 5G network here in the United States, and people who are awake and do know what they do, the environmental and human cost to it, that it's a technology that's not... That causes a lot of environmental harm. People can, once they wake up, then they can stand up, can't they? Because we're all powerful spiritual beings. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, that's a very broad question, Ted. I'm under the opinion that every belief is shared, and you're not going to get me to change my answer.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe 5G is bad, and one guy believes it's profitable and good, that's a difference in belief.
Mm-hmm.
And because the rollout of these technologies slightly realized throughout generations, it's maybe a little difficult to recognize until possibly it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And in my experience in this world, some people only understand pain, and they need to go through it to see it. And
I see.
Once it slaps you, maybe that's what some of us need.
Okay. I just got a call in a question in from Carolyn. I'm not sure where Carolyn's located. Will the currency reevaluation happen soon?
Okay, so there are many, many silos, we'll call it, around the world who are tired of this Federal Reserve System.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many silos within the Federal Reserve System and in America competing for a new currency.
Mm-hmm.
And there are alternate opportunities in addition to that, that's what I'll say. And they are competing right now, and I think you're seeing it. You're seeing it roll out in front of you. We're a little confused. I noticed some of these banks are starting to try and get us to use electronic currency.
Right.
They wouldn't even thought about that, you know, years ago. So the Federal Reserve days are definitely numbered. I will say that.
Okay.
And there is a lot of activity in there right now, and it's pretty much a puppet show right now. So I will say that.
Okay. If people were going to prepare for the end of the Federal Reserve, how best would they do? Should they invest in metals, silver, gold, or should they just invest in helping other humanity so that we won't need currency like we do now, perceived
yes.
need?
So my belief is we should choose whatever we prefer, yet it would appear to me that we have an opportunity to grow our own food. We have our opportunity to work within our communities instead of driving down the freeway to go get more Federal Reserve notes.
Mm-hmm.
So in my opinion, the solution to a lot of the retention of these beliefs has been because we don't get organized in our communities. Find me someone that makes a pair of shoes for anybody in your community, et cetera, et cetera. So
mm-hmm.
I believe the solution is not currency. It's getting organized as a community.
Mm-hmm.
The trade and barter system is an opportunity, but it would be through goods. One of my favorite topics to observe is the healthcare industry. You have to go to work to get insurance so that you can go to the doctor so he can charge your insurance so you can get healthcare. So whatever happened to going to the doctor and paying him directly? Everyone has to have insurance because doctors don't take patients unless they have insurance. Hmm. We have to have a third party. We believe we have to have an insurer to get health care.
I see.
Does this make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. Yeah, right. Yeah, and
I need insurance. No,
yeah.
You need a doctor, it looks like.
Yeah, yeah. Well, under Obamacare, I know that there was a $10,000 deductible for any medical injuries. So you had to spend that much money to get any kind of compensation. But let me ask you about this. In Star Trek, they had a lot of scenes about teleportation, about how individuals would go from like a spacecraft to planet Earth or other planets, and they'd be constantly beaming back and forth. And you'd see these images, Q, of people's bodies materializing and dematerializing. What about teleportation? Is that real, and is that used here? Will we be having that in the future?
Excuse me. So it is my understanding that my observation and or my experiences, it's safe to assume all of the technology you have witnessed on Star Trek, you can assume is on planet Earth and more.
Mm. Okay.
And you can assume that some of it's hidden in plain sight. You don't have to look very far. And I'm sure everyone's quite aware that the Giza pyramids are a piece of technology.
Mm-hmm.
Do your homework, you can figure out that they are a very incredible piece of technology. And I'm working within the industrial military complex or the industrial various corporations,
mm-hmm.
it's quite clear I can't find anybody that knows how to build one. Or
sure.
Can we?
Sure.
because there are people that know how to build them. So I'll say that much at least.
Corey Good was on my show a couple of years ago, and he talked about the compartmentalization of the military-industrial complex, where people would be working on these fantastic technology products, Q, but they wouldn't. But they, because they were compartmentalized, they wouldn't realize the full implications of their work because it would be split up into different sections. Apparently, that was also used the same technique during World War II when we created the atomic bomb. So that's one reason why many people don't have the full picture, because they're not meant to accept it if you're in the very highest echelons of decision-making.
Yeah, so that's a fair assessment with even where I'm at day in and day out, is that there's compartments because, you know, we're a big group now. There's a lot of people on this planet.
Sure.
So,
sure.
Yeah, this idea that we're evolving because of technology, it's got to be a shared belief for understanding our true world history, because we've been here a very, very long time.
Sure.
And that's one of the reasons these posts are out here, is we can believe what we were brainwashed with, but I think we have an opportunity now to believe a new history and reorganize our teachings. And
mm-hmm.
I'm under the opinion that one of my favorite beliefs is changing the education system
mm-hmm.
to one focused on people telling the school what they want to learn, not the other way around.
I see. Interesting. Okay. Okay, that's a good point. That's a good point. Just had a question from a fellow named Bob in Vancouver, Canada, on cloning. And he sent me this link to a YouTube video on where there was a hybridization, some facility somewhere in North America here, where a hybrid, they were doing cloning of humans, and one of the clones escaped, and it created quite a problem. What is your opinion on cloning? Is it being done currently? And love your opinion on that.
Okay, so it is safe to assume that one of you can assume that our identity is the big hoodwinking that's taken place on in North America. I'll speak to at least about what we really are, and you can assume that there is technology to take a soul out of a body and put it into another body. Whether you want to regenerate a new body, use the existing body, there are a way to fragment souls into multiple bodies too.
Mm-hmm.
This was happening generations ago too, in the Atlantic times too, is my understanding.
Right.
A wonderful way to cross-reference this information would be maybe look at the Emerald Tablets. I think there's a few people starting to turn those out now,
mm-hmm.
and you'll see that they were playing with that technology 35,000 years ago.
Oh my goodness!
So this is very common information to the people who have it, and it's been done for years and years and years.
Interesting. My friends in the Galactic Alliance have told me before. They told me some years ago that humans on this planet, humanity, we're basically our basic genetic structure is human, but we've been fiddled with by 22 different civilizations over the millennia, and we're considered genetic royalty because of our DNA. We have lots of DNA. Earth scientists say that we have a lot of quote junk DNA that's not activated, but it is useful. All of that's useful, and they also tell me too. They've told me quite a bit that this is a time where that so-called junk DNA will start to awaken, and we will have amazing powers as individuals that we never dreamed possible with this awakening in the higher vibrations.
Right. So you may not be able to get me to comment on royalty, but
okay,
because I would consider that a statement of judgment in some respects. Because
sure, yeah.
If we look at how we create consciousness in our through our DNA, we'll say, it would be my opinion that the fiddling, you called it, of this version of humans, for the most part, this would be a generalization, has a limited ability, we believe, to use all of our capable DNA. So that was maybe a little too many words to say. I think mm-hmm. a lot of people, I believe a lot of people in North America have two strands of their soul capability when they're a 12-stranded being. So mm-hmm. let's say it's a fraction of your soul's capability to be in this body would be my opinion mm-hmm. for a lot of people, although I believe there are many people with multiple capabilities and or more DNA because of the type, more soul capability because they have different genetics.
Mm-hmm.
That help?
Yeah, that does
maybe
help.
Maybe a different blood type we might hint at.
Sure.
Maybe a different genetic makeup and et cetera, et cetera.
Right. I have to ask you, too, another question came in about the Schumann residence. Of course, I've talked about this before, that for thousands of years, the Schumann residence, or the vibration of planet Earth, Q, had been at 7.8 hertz, and then in September 2016, it doubled to 13.88 hertz, and since that time, it had just gone up, up, and away. I know that recently in Sedona, the Schumann residence was over 1,000 hertz. Now, what's interesting about this hertz measurement is that the vibration of love is at 528 hertz, so it's surpassed that now. And is this a prelude to a shift into the higher dimensions? And any thoughts on where we will be in a year or two in terms of vibration on the planet, if current trends continue?
Well, I don't think I'm prepared to speak about the specifics of the Schumann resonance, but I will speak to the fact that we are witnessing humans changing because of it. You see it in all your daily lives. You can feel it in your body. And it's exciting. And it's quite clear that we have a choice to mold our choices. Mold our choices into preference, and it's being created much faster now. And
okay.
I encourage everybody to try it. If you prefer to sit on the couch all day, go for it.
Okay.
That would be an example of how these new frequencies are helping us be a lot more balanced, although it doesn't feel like it, does it?
Okay. We've got about 9 minutes left, and I've gotten several questions in. This one's from Emma in Norway. Let me see here. Let me try to boil it down to quick. Do you have any information about the solar flash and about the military tribunals against the elites? How is this going on now, and are they working with the Alliance Space Force?
That was like 20 questions, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, they're trying to get a lot in. So,
well, I am passionate about the Alliance. We have an opportunity to make some new choices in the North American governance, and it's happening very rapidly. I'll say that.
Okay.
And my belief is we choose a different process for governing men, and all you have to do is look at the word to notice that that's what's occurred the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of watching men being governed by people that don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my opinion on that.
Okay.
The other items I don't think I'm prepared to talk about. Thank you.
Okay. All right. This is again from Norway. She writes, evil is the result of unbalance between darkness and light, but we need to have both. Any thoughts on evil and where it comes from?
Well, if we prefer evil, I guess you do. Everyone has a choice to prefer it.
Right.
And I know that's kind of a loaded, it's kind of a flip answer, but how do we, why do we prefer evil? How do we get evil into our world?
Right.
I assume she's referring to yin and yang. But,
right.
I think it's our choice to make sure we choose what we prefer.
Okay, interesting. Will you be, this is Carolyn from San Antonio, Texas, will you be posting new crumbs soon?
Of course.
Okay, great. We've got about 5 minutes left or so, and I wanted to ask you, would you like to go into, what areas would you like to go into our last 5 minutes here?
Well, again, Ted, I really like your model for your show. You want to make this world a better place, and it sounds like we touched on a couple items. But one idea for maybe your listeners, if we do this again, is maybe we could call in and talk about what might make this world a better place.
Okay.
Or bring in examples. Why can't I make this situation a better situation because of the XYZ event? That's
okay.
An example. I believe that we can literally, as if we collectively understand the laws of our planet, mm-hmm. and our universe, that everything is based on synchronicity and geometry.
Sure.
So I encourage everyone, if we all chose, we just all chose exactly what we wanted without fear, without greed,
mm-hmm.
if every one of us did that, what would this world look like?
Good point.
And I'm asking you right now, what would this world look like?
Oh, we'd have a paradise. We would have an absolute paradise on this planet. Absolutely. If we all were able to make choices without fear, without greed, without our ego, I know we'd care for each other and make decisions based upon service to others. So that's what I see. President Kennedy has come in now, and he wants me to play this segment. It's only 30 seconds. It's part of his Ask Not speech. But Q, please stay on. We still have some time. I want to play this for 30 seconds and then come back, and we'll wrap up your interview.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
Well, that, I think that says it all. Hugh, what do you think?
I bet you that guy was popular.
Yes, he was.
I bet he was.
Yeah, he was. And he's still our president on the other side, too.
Well, I'm sorry I'm a little rummy today. I'm running with a little bit of lack of sleep, but I really love what you're doing. There's just so many people like you out there working hard, and I wish, maybe in the future you just do a show of thank yous for all the people who have made a difference in my life, and we just thank them all day long and everybody else's life, whether it's you as a radio show host or all the other conscious awakening beings, and I would encourage us to do this again, and maybe I'll create a different script so that I'm a little more organized. So I apologize.
You're
all over the place.
You're fine, Q. I would like to do another show with you in the future about what can we do to make this a better planet. That's what I'd like to focus in on, specific examples. And
I'd be honored. You're an amazing person, Ted.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Q. I appreciate that so much. But because I know most people want to create a better life. They want a happier life, not only for themselves and their children and children's children, but for all future generations as well. So that's the purpose of this program, is to make the world a better place. And I appreciate your efforts so much for coming on today. We've got about a minute left, and with that, I'd like to give you the rest of the time and just to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Thank you, Ted. Thank you for getting this space to us so we can all collaborate. One of the reasons we're on the radio show today is we're going to see some things change in the way we're able to communicate across the internet, and things might get a little weird because you may not be able to understand the truth, because there are ways to manipulate the data sets that are being published.
Sure.
Maybe not two posts, but certainly the everyday items, news, etc. So be aware of all the censorship. Use your discernment. Discern.
And trust your heart.
You don't have to use Q as a Bible either.
Right.
Everyone has their own discernment, and that's the tool God gave every one of us.
Right. Absolutely. And I would like to add also, trust your heart. When you make a decision, you have two brains between your logical mind and your heart mind. And always trust your heart, and always know that love is the most powerful and important force in the universe. With that, Q, thank you so much for coming on my show today. I'd love to have you on again. And friends, please stay tuned for our next segment on the beautiful Hopi Indians and Adama from the Hollow Earth. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Please stay tuned. Would you?